Everything Japanese, I feel like there's like a tiered system, and like in order for you to become the master, you have to like kill your master or something like that.
Oh, nothing like that.
Could you try?
You probably could.
Okay. Welcome back to Our Cine Culture. I'm Matt.
Jason.
And we have a very special first-time guest as Jason is getting ready to flip this fucking table over. Balancing precariously over here.
My balance is pristine.
Yeah, we are actually doing our very first on-location broadcast, and we are coming from Void Sakari, or Void Brewery. They make sake. And this is the one and only, the first and only sake brewery in the entire state of Kentucky. And we have our Toji. Yeah. Justin Levon with us. What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome.
How are
on the
doing?
Show.
Welcome.
We're happy to have you on. The Void is actually not new. You guys have been around for how many years now?
It'll be about 2.5 years. We established in 2020, we opened in 2021. Okay. That's when I brewed my first batch. Okay. And then that was in like early that year. And then we opened our tap room.
Yes.
In June,
which
of that
is
year.
Like two blocks to my right.
Yes. down the street.
Yeah, and you all had a small little spot, very quaint. We're on this street here, which is a really, you know, nice up and coming street. There's a lot of attractions here. A lot of people come here. We got Mira Twin Brewing, which we've talked about numerous times on our show.
You've had beer come.
And you are just a little bit out of the way. There's like a bend and like a corner, and it's just like enough out of the way, out of sight, to where
you can see Mirror Twin from here, though.
But from where we are now, so you moved like two blocks in this direction, and we can see it from over there. You got a parking lot that is going to be a parking lot anyway.
Yeah,
they're gonna
be
putting
better.
A pavilion, and this place is three times bigger than what you had. We've been drinking sake and beer already. But this place is beautiful, man.
It is very nice.
And you all did it
nice.
Really quick, this move. Like,
yes.
I'm actually super impressed. And I'm waiting for, like, the ceiling to cave in where you, like, half-assed it.
It's kind of like the like behind the scenes of Oz. Like, we made it look quick.
Right,
it is about 2 months too late.
There's, like,
too late,
there's 12 guys in the back, like, holding the walls up like this. It's all just, you know, it's fake. This place is going to crumble. So.
Yeah.
No, seriously,
that's,
dude.
That's the fellowship of the Void. We enlist
It's their membership. That's their requirement.
And they do have a membership. What's your all's website for anybody curious? Or are you just on Facebook?
It's thevoidsaki.com.
Okay.
Is on the
Instagram?
Main kind of, like, portal. Yeah, we are on Instagram. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Void Saki.
Follow you there.
Instagram.
We follow you there.
Yeah.
Facebook, Insta. Our web domain,
Void
Sake.
Yeah.
Avoid sake.
And I enjoy sake. I enjoy it a lot. I buy your stuff not, and I hate to say it, I don't go to the brewery to buy it. It's usually a convenience thing when I'm like in a store or whatever. But now that you are closer, I'm hoping that my family, who I always go out with, and I'm at the whims of where my kids want to go, now it's closer and it's a little bit easier, you know, because sometimes they like to go to the Mirror Twin over there because kids run around
they have that, like, kid cage over
there. Yeah, yeah. It's like the kid zoo. And, like, and my kids love it, you know?
We try to put Matt in there a few times when we go. But
and I broke
He breaks out.
I was picking kids up and throwing them over the fence.
If you look at the bars, those kids have, like, just been like, I'm just like.
The last time they locked me in there, I took eight kids and I tied them into a rope. And I made a rope of kids and I threw it over the top and I scaled it over.
It's
and
like
then
Rapunzel's hair, just
for
kids.
But it's just like kids, yeah. And then I pulled them over because I had to rescue my buddies. So. But I enjoy sake. I enjoy it a lot. It's one of those things you kind of have to be in the mood for. And I want to actually drink more of it and learn more about it. We do a lot of a lot of rare things, but I like to explore things on the show, you know, and like find new things and look at their history and heritage. Side note: I was actually going to bring some shochu.
Yeah,
but
I love
there's
shochu.
Like I started looking up like the history, and there's no history. Just getting drunk off it for like millennia. That's what I saw. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean it's different too because that's a distilled beverage,
right?
Whereas sake's not,
right? But sake uses
delicious.
Yeah, in the process they use the koji, which is like a fungus, and they put it on the rice, and that's what creates like the enzyme or to ferment.
Yeah, it's not malted rice, but it's not. I guess a good analog is malted like grains
because
you're using the the germ or the embryo to make the enzymes to break down the starches.
Right. But from the pictures I've seen online, it looks more full. Like if you look at it's more like a wider white.
Yeah.
Wider.
More opaque.
Water.
Pearly white. So they'll, with a lot of more modern sake, they'll polish the grain.
Right. What does that mean?
So it's basically like if you look at the like, a lot of times they'll use milling and polishing kind of like interchangeably.
Yeah.
But basically, instead of like a barley like crusher, like a mill to like break open the seed coat or that that fully intact grain.
Right.
They will mill or polish away the outer bits and just get the little starchy center.
Okay. Sounds like a steel cut oats, kind of how they do those, or a little thicker.
Or like pearled barley.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's if you look at it, it's not like crusher, like wheels, like horizontally. It's just a big polishing wheel, like mounted vertically. Okay. And it spins at high speeds, and then they just recirculate it through.
So they take each individual grain of rice, and they just press it up against the polishing wheel until it's like completely polished.
It just goes and just goes, fuck, and just falls through it.
In 30 years, we'll have one bag of rice.
Yeah, and it's going to be a Ziploc bag.
The small with sandwich bags, not the gallons.
No, so yeah, it drops down, and then as it tumbles, it'll like hit the wheel and like nix it, and then they'll just recirculate it through.
Okay.
So the grain's intact. But that embryo is like just shaved away. So they're just shaving away the rice.
Okay.
And because of that, we can't malt it because there's no embryo to do that.
Right.
So that's where that koji comes in, other organism.
And this go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's a little nerdy, but looking up like the fermentation process, in beer, you take the barley and you more or less cook it to a degree in order to extract those enzymes. And then from there, you take the wort, which is the solution, and then you put the yeast in, and then the fermentation takes place. With sake, you actually do the yeast and the koji at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's all just like...
Yep. It's just all like... There's the... I guess the coined like term that they use is called like multiple parallel fermentation.
Right,
it's basically just like a like simultaneous fermentation. So the step of making sugars from starch and then sugar to alcohol are all happening at the same time.
So I don't want to downplay what you do, but that sounds pretty fucking easy.
Not really.
Is there offense,
but your job's easy.
And that's great.
Yes.
That's awesome. Like,
don't back it up now, Matt. Don't back it up.
Yes. You're basically like instead of two separate steps, they're all happening at the same time. You still have to pre-treat, like you have to steam the rice.
Okay.
And like open up those like starches before you throw it in there. But it's all happening in one tank and not like you mash it with hot water and then you pull it off and then you put it in this boil kettle and then add your stuff and then do
So because you were also a brewer
and
you work over at Ethereal
and
so you were well versed in all different kinds of fermentation so you know the differences and stuff.
So I don't know much about brewing. I'll just go ahead and admit that. But what I've looked online, isn't like the yeast very like sacred, I guess, in sake making? Like it's hard. Like where do you get your yeast from? Where does it start?
Like I don't know.
It's almost secretive online when I read about it a little bit. Seriously.
Of it is just because of the language barrier.
True. There was not many good, like, a lot of it was in Japanese, which I had no idea what was going on.
So. Google Translate for the win.
Exactly, yeah.
Shockingly, a guy from Eastern Kentucky did not take Japanese. He could not speak it. But.
I mean, that's when we first started this, and it's definitely changed and gotten a lot. Like, the information has opened up a lot more since we did it.
Right.
I think we started just messing around with it in like 2018, 2017. So that's relatively recently.
I remember trying a lot of your stuff. Yeah. I think at Ethereal you'd bring it around, or maybe Brandon did something you all had, maybe like a little bottle of something before you'd open it.
Oh, yeah. So somebody brought a bottle from, like, what it was one of my homebrew bottles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is like 3 years old. I'm like, God damn it.
That's a vintage shit, man.
Yeah, you could tell it was a little rough, but it's kind of neat, like, where you came from, where you're at now. But,
yeah.
But, so, to the easy part, it's like you can just throw shit in and make some alcohol,
right?
But like it, there's a lot of like balancing that goes into it.
Okay.
Because you're managing that sugar or starch to sugar conversion at the same time of sugar to alcohol conversion, and so it's you're almost like a teeter totter. So you don't want one end to like overtake it, because then it's gonna, you know, fuck up the other part.
Exactly. And
so you want everything in balance.
Yeah,
so,
I give you a hard time. Obviously, there's you got to have a deft hand.
I make it. Don't, I don't make back it look it up easy. Now,
you make it look easy. Yeah, it's because you're the co. What? Not the koji. The
toji.
Yeah. Well, before we start getting into, we've actually been drinking some of your sake. You make some really good stuff. You told me that you did some traveling in Japan recently to actually become the toji. Is that how you pronounce it? Toji?
Yeah. Toji. Yeah. T-O-J-I.
And that's more or less the head brewer, head sake brewer?
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a master by any means, but it's...
Is there a process?
Getting there.
Yeah. Is there like a... Everything Japanese, I feel like there's like a tiered system, and like you could become a sensei, and like you have all these underlings. Exactly. Like, is there like a whole tier system to where like... In order for you to become the master, you have to like kill your master or something like that?
Oh, nothing like that.
Could you try?
You probably could.
Okay.
This is not Kill Bill.
An inheritance.
Yeah.
It's you and then Joe and then Brandon, correct? Here? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they help out whenever they can.
Sure.
But for the most part, it's just me.
That's
back
awesome,
there.
Man. So you've learned quite a bit over there.
Mm-hmm. I'm thirsty.
You've become the sensei of Kentucky, of the state of Kentucky, right?
Sure.
I want to test your worth here.
We're testing.
I want to test your mettle.
Thank you, sir.
And right now, Justin's pouring us some of his for stuff, me, which for I appreciate. Me. Yeah.
But while I'm pouring it, so the trip to Japan, it was there's a national like
thanks man
trade organization of they were started by sake brewers, kind of for sake brewers, and it's the Sake Brewing Association of North America.
Okay.
But so they've been trying to put together like a cultural like knowledge exchange for a long time, and so they worked with a few breweries in Japan.
Okay.
And then it was me and two other brewers that went over there for like an education type thing. So it was
it was a great experience.
It was 2 weeks. We went over to Japan, toured some breweries, and then spent a week and a half-ish at a educational brewery and brewed there.
Did you get to like go in Japan and fuck around?
Yeah, we had a lot of cool things.
Yeah. Did you do any karaoke?
We didn't do karaoke, but we were in
Did you go to any of the brothels? Do they have brothels in Japan?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? Or maybe I'm thinking of Amsterdam.
So
okay.
One of the brewers is one of the brewers that came with us was from Nami Sake in Mexico. It's the only one in Mexico.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I did not even know there was a sake brewer in Mexico. That's pretty cool.
I just thought they had tequila and mezcal.
Yeah.
But he was wanting to go to pachinko parlor.
Okay.
So we ended up not going, but I was like, I've never done pachinko.
I see clips online and stuff of like people like in these back alleys.
It's just gambling.
Japan.
I was going to say, what is that? I was thinking plinko when you drop it.
There's pachinko.
He's like, okay, I want to get on the prices right.
Plinko.
Yeah.
just
cheer him. Get her big old yellow name
Let's
tag
go Bob
on there.
Or Drew, whoever it is hosting them.
No, I see like clips online of people just like, it looks like everything is in a fucking alley. And there's like restaurants and stuff, but it's like you see them, they're packed together so tight. But they make the food. This food looks amazing. Like anywhere you go.
Yeah, we met up in Tokyo, and it was like the hotel was like a block away from like basically like Central Station and like that, but also like maybe a few like 10-15 minute walk away from the Imperial Palace. So we were like smack dab downtown Tokyo.
Yeah.
But you walk and there's lights, like alleys. We went to this one place. We just walking down a main street, turned off this alley, walked up some stairs like I was going to somebody's apartment.
Yeah.
And there was like a sake bar.
Yeah,
it's like a restaurant.
My algorithm on TikTok has a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's like people will eat for lunch, they'll be like $6.
Yeah.
Like, is things cheap over there? Like, I don't know. I've never been. But they would go to the convenience store. The convenience store food looks damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like our convenience store, you know, Dude, Reese's.
We went every morning, like, before we went to the brewery. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we spent the night at the brewery. But when we meet
That's hardcore, man. We would just go to the... out.
Yeah.
That's why they call you the Toji.
We would go to the convenience store, and, like, in the morning, you could get, like, karage, and which is basically just, like, like Japanese fried chicken for, in its most simplest thing, but it's better than that.
I'm sure it's fantastic. Okay, yeah.
But it's, like, it's, like, oh, convenience store food, but no, it was... amazing.
How was the language barrier there? Like, do people understand? I mean, you just kind of point, or like, how's it work?
I mean, so the
The
nice thing about it is we had two translators with us.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. So we could just like talk to them; they could convey it, and then so the language thing wasn't an issue. We did go to a yaki bar, and it was
a yaki bar,
Is this
like a vomitorium? Like
yacht rock
all the time?
Yacht rock, yeah. Yacht rock bar. I would totally go to a yacht bar. It was a yakibiku,
but it's like grilled chicken.
Okay.
It looked like a dive bar, but it had like the little gas powered like grills.
Yeah.
And so you ordered
hot pot kind of restaurant.
It's not chicken uterus, is it?
Like yakitori.
It's not chicken uterus, is it?
We still have fried chicken.
It's not that.
Okay. We had our previous host with us was like pining over chicken uterus. Remember that?
I'm out.
What the fuck?
I'm out.
That sounds good, though. That actually sounds tasty.
It's basically just like most of the people, I guess, listening or around here would know like Korean barbecue. It's sure. very similar to that. Like you grill stuff out. But anyway, so we were there and one of us spoke like the most broken Japanese ever. But
yeah.
Again, Google Translate for the win.
We hell
just
yeah.
be like, yeah. I want that, and then like show him. And then the same thing, when the translators weren't around, we had our phones, and so the assistant brewer at the one thing, we were sitting there like stirring the mashes, and it's just basically just a giant vat, and he was like, he would say something and put it in, it would be like, don't fall in.
That's pretty good. That's awesome.
So question for you. I mean, you know, I know Kentucky, we're known for bourbon, known for horses, and our breweries are getting there. A lot of breweries popping up. So what made you gravitate towards sake? Like, what was your first experience there, and why did you want to create, like, a brewery?
Yeah, so we, like Matt had said, like, at Ethereal, like, we do a lot of, like, alternative fermentations. Like, we've all started in home brewing.
Sure.
And so we did, you know, beer, wine.
All three of the owners of home brewing, right? I mean, Joe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, I brewed in college as soon as I turned, like, 22, 21 or whatever. Yeah, right. And so we've been brewing for a long time.
First time I met you, you came to my house and you brought mead over. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
so you've been brewing mead, too. Yeah, that's a long time.
So I was going to say, yeah, we did mead. And it's like once you kind of, like, dive in that rabbit hole, it's like, all right, I've done this enough. Like, what's the new thing? What's the next thing? And so we did that. And we, at Ethereal, like, every year, we used to do these, like alternative fermentations or beers, and we would do like ingredients from, like, one year it was like South American stuff. Mm-hmm. That year it was like Japanese.
You did a collab with a Japanese brewery?
No,
or
it was Chinese. The Szechuan peppercorn.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, that was really good. I enjoyed.
So
that.
Yeah, so stuff like that, and we had like, I don't think we ever heard of Koji, or maybe we did, but we haven't used it, and so it was just kind of like, yeah, I can grow that, and so like. To like sake standards, it was shit koji, but like to our and it made a very interesting
to you guys
beer.
It was like the picture that kid puts on like the refrigerator is like, daddy, look what I made.
Yeah, right.
And like other like Japanese people are like, yeah, good for you.
We'll hang it up there.
Put that right there. Yeah.
It's like, that was good, son.
Pat you on the head.
So really for the challenge is what I'm hearing. Like, you wanted to explore. And,
yeah,
and
it was challenge. It was something new, something different.
But if you always like sake, like it, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess the nice thing about, like, Kentucky is, like, it's known for bourbon, but there's a huge portion of, like, Japanese foreign investment.
For sure, with Toyota.
Toyota. Oh, yeah.
We got a Toyota plant right in Georgetown.
Toyota Beam Suntory.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
And the universities and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But So we had had sake before and liked it. And so once we did that, we were like, they make sake with it. Yeah. We're like,
that's awesome, man.
We can make sake too.
Yeah.
And we just started making it. And then from that point, it was such a different process. And it's a lot more hands-on.
Okay.
And I guess you could say it's more intimate, like your hands are on it a lot more.
That sounds like a very Japanese thing, like everything is about the feng shui, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about balance earlier. I mean, that's...
I think feng shui is a Chinese saying, but anyways.
It's close enough.
It's Asian, yeah. I'm Asian, I'm allowed to say that.
That was not me. That
was not me. But yeah, we just fell in love with it. It's such a different process. Like, there's similarities in more similarities to like a brewing than like winemaking.
Of course.
But like, it's just a very different process. It's more hands-on, and then we just kind of fell in love with it. And then from there, it was just like tinker. So like, the way I describe it is like, you have this black box. You don't know what happens. Like, stuff comes in, magic comes out,
right,
and you don't know what happens in the middle. And so that kind of like trying to figure out that black box is what caught us.
Yeah,
so
you already have to create a Schrodinger's sake. So you being the expert, give me two. You got two clean glasses over there. I guess it doesn't matter.
I've got two. I've got two clean ones.
Cleanish. It's fine.
This is the largest gap we've ever had between people here. All right, so I've got two sakis that I went out shopping for and I found, okay?
Yeah.
One is the Divine Droplets. Is that Ginja or Ginga?
Ginjo.
Ginjo.
I guess it's a Ginjo Shizuku.
Shizuku.
Yeah, we can talk about what that means.
Yeah, this is a $100 bottle of sake. It was like $92. Yeah.
That was the other thing, like, while you're pulling that. In Japan, like, we had, like, everything's like, a lot of stuff is cheaper over there, but like, just the amount of like fantastic sake,
really?
It was like
options.
Yeah,
was it cheap or expensive?
It was so cheaper. Oh. Like that bottle would have been like, or maybe not that bottle, but something like that bottle would have been like $20.
Really?
Why didn't you go there, Matt? You should have went to Japan. bought it for $80 cheaper.
You should have told me, Justin. Like, I would have gone and I'm going over there. So I got this beautiful bottle here that I'm actually really excited to try. And I also got something called One Cup Sake by Johto, which you informed me this is actually very popular in Japan.
One cups are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can buy that shit in like vending machines.
Yeah. This is it for people listening.
Not that it's shit.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like,
you can watch on
the collective shit.
Yeah, you can watch us on YouTube, Our Cynic Culture, youtube.com/OurCynicCulture. This is a cup, literally a cup, and it's like a paper cup. I guess it's heavily waxed. I mean, there's sake's been sitting here for who knows how long, and it's not seeped through yet. I'm thinking of like when you go to like McDonald's and you get a soda, and eventually like the bottom like rots out from like.
Well, the worst, if you go to a hotel and you pour bourbon in one of those glasses,
it will
absolutely come through the bottom.
But a lot of times they'll have like little like glass cups, but it's like either 180 mils or like 8 ounces.
Yeah, this is this was $4.49.
Yeah,
it's got a little plastic top on there, so you can like pop the top back on.
The little pop off.
Yeah, and it's got a little.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, and they got this is the graffiti edition. It said nothing says you're hardcore like.
So you went from $5 to $100.
Yeah, this is gives you street cred by putting the graffiti on there. So we're gonna see if you can tell the difference between $100 and a $5 sake.
Cover your eyes.
I can do it like under the
table. Okay.
I was gonna say while Matt's doing that, let's talk a little bit more. So, what's probably like the biggest hurdle with sake making? Like, you know, what makes it the most difficult?
I guess because it's so laborious, like it has to be hands-on.
Compare that to brewing, like a beer.
Yeah.
So is it more than that, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the way I describe it to other beer brewers is like beer brewing, all the labor is kind of front-loaded.
Mm-hmm.
But with sake brewing, all of that is spread out from like the mash, like what I'd say, like that week-long mashing process.
Yep.
So the biggest thing is, you know, you're steaming rice and then, well, actually it's washing it, then soaking it, then steaming it, then unloading it, cooling it, and then adding it into the tank. So it's like, in that regard, there's a lot more steps. And when you start doing stuff at a commercial scale, it becomes a engineering and logistics problem. To solve, whether in your home brewing, it's like, oh yeah, I can just lift this out and do this. Or whatever.
So comparison, but, like if you were brewing an ethereal, How often, how many times a week do you brew? Like once, twice?
No, so it's spread out. So okay. when I'm brewing in Sake Brewing too, they do what's called a step mash or step feeding. So you need a lot of yeast to start. So they'll start with like a little starter mash, and then they'll build from that mash, and then let it the yeast go, and then build it again, and then build it like another time. So you're basically growing the yeast up, and then you're adding little bits more, so you're not like just totally stressing the yeast out. But like depending on how you brew, you can start with like a little bit of yeast starter, and then you go into like your starter mash, and then the middle step, and then the third step. So like a lot of breweries do what they call three-step method, and each time you're doubling that volume.
Okay. So comparison, like, is it double the amount of work you think at a brewery? I know you said front-loaded. You know, beer front-loaded for everybody listening at home, and then sake's throughout.
Well, I mean, I would say, like, if you had to, like, mash the grains and then shovel them out of the mash and then put them back in something, maybe it would be similar. Gotcha. But I guess because you're doing it all in one tank, you're not having to, like, mash it in a separate thing, pull it out. Like, they're different. They're different in that regard, but it's just a lot more, like, physical labor involved in it.
Interesting.
Unless you're big enough, like if you pay Matt
like $20 to come over and cool it down.
Jason's pretty big. I bet you he could handle it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I am not an expert on sake. I know what I like. And when I taste it, I can tell you if I like it or not. All right. But I can't, you know, discern the nuanced differences between Junmai and the other thing.
Ginjo.
Ginjo. The other ones.
Daiginjo.
Exactly right. I know there's like different levels and stuff like that. So keep this one in your left hand.
Okay.
Left hand.
Okay. And then this one in your right hand.
Okay. I want one too.
Okay. So.
They look identical.
They do. And I was actually surprised.
Like, look in the light.
I thought one was going to be different than the other, but they're actually very similar. So.
They're slightly different, but well.
Is the one you're right just a little bit darker, a little bit more like yellowish? Am I seeing that right from here?
Actually, this one's a little bit more yellow.
Okay, I guess the light's missing. It's clearly not my eyes.
But I mean, they are pretty clear.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to put you to the test. See if you can tell the $100 sake and the $5 sake.
Well, actually, it was.
You want some coffee beans to whiff? You want some cocaine real quick, maybe? Clear your sinuses.
What's interesting is, like, off the bat, I can smell. And the one visually that I thought was that one, but they are, like, clarity-wise, they are so close. But the one that I thought initially based off color was the Johto one.
Yeah.
It's not the Johto
one. Don't mix up your hands, because that's the only way I know the difference.
So you can tell just from the smell for the most part. Okay. Yeah. Matt's pouring me one. I have no idea what they are. So I will see if I can tell as well.
Yeah.
I guarantee I can, maybe.
So I was over here. I took whiffs of them, so I can obviously the aroma is very different.
Yeah, I'm gonna say if I fuck it up.
hey, here's the thing: if you fuck it up, you're fired. You're no longer the Toji. We're gonna find another Toji.
So the way I describe it is like I guess we can talk about the different they're not styles, they're grades, and it's more like taxing grades in Japan. So like. If you think about it as like a pyramid, and so like what they call futsuchu or like table sake is like most of the pyramid, and the top premium sake is where you get like Junmai, Ginjo or Junmai Ginjo, Junmai Daiginjo, but like the only separation between those is how much milling happens on the rice.
Interesting. So it's not like. You get
there are some other differences too, but that's the main one of the like big like main differences.
But it's not like the higher end shit's got cocoa nibs in it, you know. It tastes like German chocolate cake. Yeah, that's like a beer.
So the differences I taste a smell on these. One of them's a little more fruity.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's a little more like full, balanced. I guess would be the
more
best way to say
fuller
it.
Body.
Yeah. I mean, just from the nose.
And so I was going to say what they call like ginjo ka, or is like that ginjo flavor aroma. Because they're more highly milled, you're not going to get more of that fuller, ricier flavor.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they'll brew it with fruitier yeast to, like, give you some more flavor. There's some other, like, brewing, some other techniques that go into making that, but
But like Jason was asking, the yeast is kind of like a, not a family thing, but that's a lot of that is, I guess, closely guarded, or that's what kind of sets the sake apart.
Okay. Yeah. So like when we were in Japan, there's like in the prefecture, there's like a brewing research institute, and they have a lot of yeasts that they use. But that's a thing. We don't have access to a lot of yeast that they do in Japan.
Yeah.
Where do you get your yeast from? I'm just curious.
Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple of strains that you can get dry. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty common. Even in Japan, they're pretty common.
I can actually get you a couple of strands from Jason's vagina if you want.
That costs you extra.
That goop sake.
I was thinking Wilderness Trail. I didn't know. So based on this, I mean, tasting them, the nose, I like. I mean, there's different nose. Mm-hmm. So fruity or more full. The taste, the fruity one tastes cheaper, I would say. Is that correct?
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm gonna see how good I am. I'm trying.
Yeah, we got to see how the sensei does over here.
I enjoy the non-fruity one better. I think this.
So the one in my left hand, which you said is the fruitier one.
Okay. Which one is Divine Droplets and which one is the street sake?
So I'm thinking this one is the Divine Droplets. Yeah. This one is the Johto.
And you thought it was the other way around?
I don't know. Maybe. Sure. Yeah, I'm opposite.
Justin, you are correct.
That's what I said. That's what I said too.
You fucked up, Jason.
Jason's like, the fruitier one tastes cheap. I thought it did. I don't know.
So that is, but I mean, honestly, it's. I don't have the palate for it. I'd like to, you know, but it's
much brighter.
It is. Yeah. So that's the $100 bottle right there.
Damn. And so the one thing,
but the
is
thing
like,
is, the cheap one's actually not bad.
No, it's not. So like, when you were like, oh yeah, like Johto, like one cup thing, and like Johto's not bad.
I mean, they're both.
I wonder what makes the difference on this. Probably some ingredients.
I mean, I guess it just goes down to what you're saying about the milling and stuff.
Yeah. If you pass me the cup, the one cup.
Yeah.
Maybe it says. Yeah. Maybe it says something on. A lot of times they'll say like.
He wants a cup there.
It may not say it on there, but we could probably look it up and see.
And these are both. I think these are both from Japan. These are both Japanese sakis.
I don't think you can reuse that one. There's no seal on there. It's like a can of Pringles or something without the
challenge accepted.
It's made to be drunk.
That's a to go cup right there.
When off like the top of my head, I can't remember like a lot of times what it's called. So if they label it as like Junmai or Junmai Daiginjo or Ginjo, like there are taxing things for that. So I'll have to look, but I would assume, like, based on flavor profiles, like, this would be, like, more Junmai, this would be more Ginjo, just by, like, the aroma and the flavor.
Yeah,
but, they're like, those are tax, like, differences. Stylistically, they are different, but they're
tax
not...
Tax as in, like, tax rates or tax...
Like the G-Man, yeah.
Okay.
Like, the government, like...
Oh, wow, okay.
Taking more money. But again, those are...
I would just tell them it's a cheaper one.
Yeah. Well, this one's a cheaper one.
Oh, for sure. I'll just tell them that, and then, you know.
It doesn't matter. Jason doesn't.
Yeah. Make some money.
But the main difference, too, is, like, Junmais tend to be more full-bodied.
Yeah.
Ginjos and Daiginjos tend to be lighter in flavor, but they are fruitier, more yeast expression out of them, whereas this one you get more, like, rice and sometimes yeast.
Yeah.
So like we were drinking. This is my plug now.
Plug it, baby.
So like Messenger, like our regular Junmai.
Yeah.
We kind of like, I say like toe the line between the two. So we use a yeast that is more fruitier in expression and it's a little bit more lighter. But you get that nice balance between like fruity, kind of like honeydew, cantaloupe, and like apple-y flavors with like a very cleaner finish. We have another one that's the Harbinger, which is our Ginshu, which is like an
I can't wait to try that
uncut one. I didn't bring it with me.
That's okay. I will be back.
He didn't bring it just because he knew you wanted
it. I know,
he?
Yes.
But that one's more like, it's like richer, ricier, more concentrated. But like this one, if it's still like this one's pretty light on that like spectrum, and I tell people it's a spectrum. Like they're not styles in the sense of like this is a West Coast IPA, this is a Pilsner, this is a that.
These are all Pilsners, or just different grades of Pilsner.
Kind of, looking at it, I guess you definitely
see on the $100 bottle. I mean, it's almost like thinner, clearer, more clarity, I guess.
Mine's usually, drink. I got to get more.
Yeah, usually the less milled will be well, and there are differences too. But the usually the less milled will be have a more of a yellower kind of like tinge. Okay. But some of them use carbon filtration, which will like clarify take away more, that color. Yeah. So, and that's
like a non-chill filter for bourbon.
There you go.
See, that's not uncommon. Shit back. So
it all comes full circle. We're back in Kentucky now, baby.
Yeah. Right there.
This is really good. I like it a lot.
I think both of them's good.
I don't know if I'd pay another $100 for that bottle, but, I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very good, but I could spend $30 and be just as happy.
So speaking of cost and availability, so tell us a little bit about where people can get your product. So it's here in Lexington, we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in Lexington right now. We do self-distribute it in a couple of restaurants here in town. Like Omakase is a good account for us. Tachibana is another place. Okay.
And you can always come here and get it, right?
Yeah, you can always come here and get it. We sell bottles. We do online stuff, too.
Very nice.
We can ship out of state online bottles.
And if you come in, orders. You got a food truck. It's Nebitori, is that Nebitori. How you say it?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So that's our ramen, ramen and like... Asian bites or Japanese bites. We do some other like karage, yakitori, things like that.
So when's the grand reopening of the new place?
The grand reopening.
I know it's kind of like a tentative.
So right now we're probably, I think we're setting the grand open for like first week of March.
Okay.
Like last week of February, last weekend of February, first week of March.
Coming up quick, man. That's awesome. Here.
So no, I was going to say this is our.
I helped out. That was better if you shot it. The $100 one. it's very good. More flavorful if you shoot that.
It tastes more like $100 when you
Pro
drink
tip.
It quicker.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Pro tip. Yeah.
They should serve that at the guy's restaurant we're talking about. Yeah.
I'm gonna remember that.
Another thing is you never pour your own sake. You always pour.
I have actually heard that. Yeah.
And then you always pour it two hands. Like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We've not been pouring yours. We're sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's Matt's fault. Can you just pour it directly in my mouth?
Baby bird, that bitch.
Well, thanks for coming, man. We appreciate you having on the show. Excited for the new place to open.
Glad for it to open.
Yeah, we're going to be drinking a lot of your beverage.
Yeah, and, so we'll have a lot of
great
cool stuff.
Great place.
Out of one cups.
So,
one cup packaging only. That's all you're allowed to do now.
Well, now that we have more space, we might be able to like can some like 8 ounce.
Oh, speaking of cans, you got the seltzer line too, right?
Yeah, that's called. Go ahead. It's Emerge is the brand, but it's basically just so we call it sake seltzer just because it drinks like it, but it's like there's not really anything like it. But it's basically just a low alcohol carbonated.
I had the plum
and
one.
Flavored.
Plum one. I enjoyed that one. I like
the plum. Yeah, plum ginger is probably our most popular one. We also do another one, yuzu lemon.
Okay, I think it sounds good.
But I also joke it's basically like a sake highball.
that's fantastic.
For sure.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thanks for coming, and look forward to grand reopening, and keep making sake.
Thank you, man.